Did you know that walking mile for mile burns the same number of calories as does running? On today's show, we'll discuss how to integrate walking into your workout regimen. Also this week, yo-yo exercising joins yo-yo dieting on those things that you want to avoid. And those people in the Mediterranean are not exactly following the Mediterranean diet, and they're getting fatter. All this coming up on episode number 43 of Fat to Fit Radio.
Welcome to Fat to Fit Radio, your source for real weight loss solutions without the hype. And now, here are your hosts, Jeff Ainsley and Russ Turley.
Hello and welcome to the show. So Russ, last week you were sick and you lost a lot of weight because you were quite sick over the weekend. Did that weight tend to come back? What happened this week?
Well, it did come back. You know, a few pounds came back on and I was extremely dehydrated last week and I could not drink enough water. And well, I'm back up to 255. So over the last week, I've gained 3 pounds. But really overall in the last 2 weeks, I've lost a little over or a little under 1.5 pounds. So, you know, overall, still doing well.
So you're down 41 pounds. So you're a little bit behind the show number. You're going to really have to kick it into gear, eh?
Yeah, definitely. But what's going on with you this week?
Oh, this week. Well, I've been super, super busy. I actually started taking a personal training certification course, and I live in Canada, in Alberta. So the certification that I'm getting is from the Alberta Fitness Leadership Certification Association. And supposedly, they're Canada's highest certification level for fitness professionals. So I'm taking the course just through a YMCA that's where I normally work out. So that means I'll also become a certified YMCA fitness instructor. And the course that I'm taking right now is just the basic theory, and it's 24 hours long, and that's over 2 weeks. So it's pretty intense, you know, 12 hours a week of class time. Now, for our listeners, they know that I have a Bachelor of Education in Phys Ed, and I used to be a personal trainer about 15 years ago. So I've really seen all of this stuff before. In university, I've taken anatomy, physiology, biomechanics, you know, training, exercise design, all that stuff, but I'm still learning a ton of stuff at this course. And a lot of the things that I'm learning again, I just forgot over the last, you know, 15, 20 years. But my belief in this course is that if I learn one thing every day that I can use kind of for the rest of my life, then it's going to be totally worth it. And because I'm teaching phys ed back at school, my school has actually agreed to pay for my certification, and this is considered professional development. So it's all free, and it's just, you know, win-win for me. Now, another thing, the course has a ton of different instructors for each little section. And most of these people have been working and volunteering in fitness facilities for years. So I'm learning just as much from their insights as I am from the actual course material. And I'm really just thrilled to be taking the course. And I'm looking forward to passing on all of this great wisdom that I'm learning to people who listen to the show. So I guess here's an example of the wisdom that I'm talking about. I'm not sure the exact title of this person, but it's something like, you know, the athletic director for the YMCA. And she said, the main reason that people don't exercise is that the general population as a whole hates doing exercise for the purpose of exercising. And I'm thinking, yeah, that's probably right. So now I got to go back and finish the course to find out all the ways that I can get people motivated to do it. So that's what I've been doing. And it's something that, yeah, you can read stuff on your own, but it's kind of nice to get out and talk with other people and do more of a formal class as well. So Russ, I take it you haven't had a crazy week like I've had?
No, my week has been extremely busy at work. I've just been slammed at work, so doing that. Kind of here in my downtime, I want to share this because it's kind of fun. My wife is watching ER and Hal Holbrook. I don't know if any of you know who Hal Holbrook is. I know Jeff didn't know when I told him the first time, he had to look him up. She said to me, Hal Holbrook's on ER and he's got a little part on his couple episodes. And she says, I just want to give him a hug. I'm like, really? Hal Holbrook? You want to hug Hal Holbrook? And so, you know, just for fun, I thought, you know what? I live in Los Angeles here area, and I'm going to guess Hal Holbrook lives in the area. I'm going to guess he's local within 30, 40 miles of me here. So I'm going to make a little personal thing here to get my wife a hug from Hal Holbrook. So I set up a website, hughalholbrook.com. And just for fun, I'm going to see if I can get a chance to meet this guy and, see if I can do it.
Man, you are one strange guy.
You know what? Just, you got to keep your mind occupied, and what better to do? You know, I live here in Los Angeles, and most of Hollywood actors are, you know, fairly local, and you know, just gotta give it a try. What can happen, right? It's kind of like the, I don't know if you ever saw a movie, there was called one called My Date with Drew, and it was about a guy who wanted to go on a date with Drew Barrymore. He made a whole movie about it. I rented it on TiVo a couple of months ago, and it was so strange. And that's what kind of gave me the, when she said that, the, you know, I want to meet Hal Holbrook or hug Hal Holbrook, I thought, okay, well, I'm not going to make a documentary, but I can make a website and I can chronicle that on there. So there'll be a link on the show notes. It's a fun little thing.
All right. Well, that's an interesting side to you, Russ. But let's get right into the show and let's get into our email and comments.
All right. Our first question here is from Mary. And it is, how is it possible to dilute the active ingredients of homeopathic weight loss products to such an extent? Do they literally pour the active ingredients in a huge vat of water? Is this also the same for pills? And this is regarding a show we did two shows ago that we all talked all about homeopathic weight loss remedies.
All right. In that show, we talked about the homeopathic remedies that had the active ingredient so diluted that there was no atoms or molecules left in it. So this is how they actually dilute it. So it's called serial dilution. So let's just imagine that you have this one drop of your active ingredient, and you put it in a test tube with nine other drops. So you have one drop of the active ingredient and nine other drops of just plain water. So the actual dilution is 1 to 10. One drop of your active solution inside 10 total drops. So that's how they start off. You shake up your test tube, but then what you do, you've now shaken it up, and it's one part in 10 parts. You take out one of those drops, and you put it in another test tube with nine other drops of plain water. That now makes it one drop in every 100 drops. You shake it all up. You take out one drop out of that, 1 to 100. Then you put it in the next test tube of water, and then it's 1 to 1,000. And the dilution really gets going very fast. So let me just give you an example. If we started off with one drop of arsenic, you know, that kills you. Arsenic is no good. And you put it in a series of 8 test tubes, that makes it one part in 100 billion, which is the allowable amount of arsenic that's in the U.S. drinking water right now. So it doesn't take very long to keep diluting it. And if you get up to 24 times, that's really past the level where there's probably not anything left for atoms or molecules in it. The homeopathic solutions, they'll generally go through 30 to 60 different test tubes to make sure that it's diluted enough. Now, how the pills work, the pills are exactly the same. Now, I don't know exactly how they create the pills, but I do know that the majority of the pill is just common fillers and stabilizers that you see in all over-the-counter medications. So my guess would be that they might just mist the active ingredient onto the pills. They might have a solution of some of the water while they're stirring up the powder, making the pills. I'm not really sure, but the theory still holds true with the pills or whether it's a water solution. There is no active ingredient left in there. But thanks for the question, because I never did explain how they managed to dilute it, and hopefully that makes a little bit more sense for you.
That's good. I didn't understand that completely myself, and that really makes more sense that way.
It is pretty incredible how you can dilute things so quickly just using this process. But let's move on to our next email.
The next email we have here is from Dave, and he wrote, "Hey guys, I have to tell you that I just started listening to your podcast, and I'm beginning a very long journey, more about that in a minute, and was looking for some good information to help me reach my goals. I found your podcast in iTunes, and have to tell you that I love it. Your humor and honesty are really refreshing, not to mention the fact that you both struggle like me with your weight and are taking the same journey I am."
Here's my story. I'm 38 years old and I'm 6'6" tall, and before beginning my journey 2.5 weeks ago, weighed 467 pounds. No, that's not a typo, 467 pounds, dot, dot, dot. He actually wrote that. "My doctor has been suggesting that I should consider the gastric bypass surgery, which is how I found your site, which, by the way, I have been unsuccessful in downloading. Can you provide some help with this? I am not very keen on the idea of having the surgery, as the thought of it scares the heck out of me. However, I am interested in losing weight. I have finally decided that it is time for me to take the responsibility and to make the effort to lose the weight that I've put on."
So here I am, a couple of weeks later. I have joined a gym in my area, and I've been slowly working myself into a routine. When I started at the gym, They have a policy that you must meet with a trainer to have them show you how to effectively use the equipment, set goals for yourself, and help you set up a routine to meet your goals. So the first week, I began by walking a mile 3 days a week on the treadmill. And this week began my upper body workout, which I will do 3 days per week. So I will basically do my cardio, walking, Monday to Friday, and my upper body on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And beginning next week, we'll incorporate the lower body and abs into Tuesday and Thursday, and we'll alternate upper and lower each week.
With all of this being said, I have a goal to become less than half the man I am today. I will weigh 250 or less pounds when it is all said and done. So here is my idea. How about doing a podcast on how to properly stretch before and after a workout and the benefits of stretching? I have read that if you don't stretch well enough, that you could lose 15% of your workout. I don't know about anyone else, but I want all 100% to count. Just a thought.
Thank you very much for the awesome podcast and keep up the inspiring work you do. It really is making a difference in many lives.
Well, thanks, Dave. And that's really why we're doing the podcast, because we know there's hundreds and hundreds of people just like you are in the exact same boat. And it's great to hear about your journey. Your workout plan here sounds awesome. We'd like to hear about what you're starting to eat, and is hopefully you're eating enough calories and a good balanced diet as you're doing this. But you betcha, we're going to do a show in the future on stretching. And stretching has some real great benefits that a lot of people are not aware of. I mean, it not only helps with your flexibility, it also prevents injuries, and it even helps your body recover faster and more effectively after your workouts. So make sure that you join our support group, a member at fattofitsupport.com, and let us know how you're doing. We have a couple threads where people tell, this is what I've been doing and these are my results.
Yeah, it's great. And also about the gastric bypass episode, where we did an interview with a man who had gastric bypass surgery. And I guess that's episode number 20, and that's going to be in season one of the show. And those are all packaged up over at fattofitradio.com/season1. And there you can find out how to buy that first season and download it.
Now, if anyone would like to contact us and leave us a question to answer on the show, there's a number of ways to do it.
Yeah, that first way is to leave a comment over on the website at fattofitradio.com.
Or you can send us an email to podcast@fattofitradio.com.
The third way is to leave us a voicemail. Go over to the website and click on the Call Me button, and the service will call you and you can leave us a free voicemail.
And you can join our support group at fattofitsupport.com.
All right, excellent. So, well, let's get into some news items on this week's web report.
All right, my first news item is entitled Fast Food Hits the Mediterranean, A Diet Succumbs. Now, this is an article that I found on the New York Times. You know, in the last several years, we're all talking about the Mediterranean diet. It was a very popular diet starting in the 1990s because they're eating all this good food, they're living a lot longer than we are, they're healthier, and really, I think the Mediterranean diet is now gone. So in the article, the traditional Mediterranean diet was low in saturated fats, high in nutrients like flavonoids, was based on vegetables, fruit, unrefined grains, olive oil for cooking and flavoring, and a bit of wine, all consumed on a daily basis. Things like fish, nuts, poultry, eggs, cheese, and sweets were weekly additions, and things like red meat, refined sugar or flour, butter, and other oils or fats were rarely consumed at all. And as I was saying, in the 1990s, the Mediterranean diet really started to take off when people started to notice that they're living, you know, up to 100 years old. So now, according to the New York Times, the Mediterranean diet, you know, which has been associated with the lower rates of heart disease and lower cancer, is now more likely to be found in upscale restaurants of London and New York than among the young generations in places like Greece. They're saying that in Greece, there is now 2/3 of the children are now overweight, and the health effects are just getting worse and worse. So in Greece right now, the children are not going to live as long as their parents. And this is something that's obviously quite new. And the interesting thing in the Mediterranean, they're saying the reason why the children are putting on so much weight is, you know, there's a lot more convenience foods, there's a lot more processed foods, there's a lot more supermarkets. So they're not going to their regular fruitmonger and fishmonger and picking up the meals for that day. The interesting thing is the children in the Mediterranean are getting quite fat, but the older people are not, because their taste buds really haven't changed to want to eat all of the sugar that the younger generation is. So we've talked in the past about places like Mexico that were quite poor, and now they have an obesity epidemic just because of all the processed foods that went in there. In the Mediterranean, it's really starting with the younger people because they are really being heavily marketed to, you know, all of the sugary cereals, etc. So the Mediterranean diet is a great book, and it's a great diet to follow. If you like that sort of food, you can't go wrong with it, but it really might only exist as a diet book and recipe book in the world. It's kind of sad to see that going, you know, the way of the dodo.
Yeah, you know, that was always, you know, when I actually, when I go to make a meal, I tend to still think about the Mediterranean style meals, and particularly, you know, the use of a lot of olive oil and just fresh ingredients. And God, I just find it's amazing that that whole area is now going to be filled with people that are just eating the same kind of processed foods that here in America that we've come to consider normal. And I think it's a real loss to the world.
Well, I guess that's also just globalization. We're kind of losing all of our individual cultures. We're just changing to whatever fast food restaurant happens to be the most popular around the world. That's what we know is our food of choice. It's pretty sad, actually. But what do you have for us this week, Russ?
Well, this week, a new term came into my brain here. We've all heard of the term yo-yo dieting. That refers to the act of going on these extreme low-calorie diets and over a period of time going on a diet and off and on and off, and you lose muscle mass and you end up gaining more weight than you did prior to all this dieting. And another term here that just heard, yo-yo exercising. What happens is when people have periods of strenuous exercise followed by weeks of physical inactivity, it can lead to increased fat cell production. So say, you know, you feel great. You're like, okay, I'm going to work out. And you work out kind of rigorously for a couple of weeks, but then like you lose interest. And, you know, you don't, like you mentioned, you don't want to exercise just for the sake of exercising. And you stop exercising, your body will make more fat cells. I think that's a very amazing. And this comes from a study from the Journal of Applied Physiology. I'll be linking the show notes, but I just find that amazing. Jeff, have you heard of that before?
Well, I see it all the time. I mean, look at the New Year's. I've been at the same gym now for 10 years, and I see the same people coming in January and February and working out, you know, every single day. I'll see them that I'm at the gym, and then they all just disappear. And I think there's a couple reasons. First of all, I think people come to the gym and they overtrain because they have real unrealistic expectations and they're working out as hard as they can. They're thinking of the Rocky movies, you know, where they're just working out super, super hard and they get really quick results. And their bodies start to fight back. They get muscle strains and pulls and they injure themselves. And then they never really get back up on that horse. So yeah, I see it all the time.
Yep. And so you don't want to go full bore in this stuff. You want to start out slow and, you know, pick a moderate exercise plan that you're going to be able to do for a long time. Because here now we've got a study now that proves this same kind of yo-yo exercising will make you fatter. So I think it's amazing.
I think it's very interesting that they found that by just exercising really intensely and then quitting, we'll have increased fat cell production. That's really kind of shocking. I think it must have something to do with dieting at the same time, because I don't think the exercise alone could do that. But I'll have to read that journal in more detail. But it's very interesting. If there's anything there that will stop people from yo-yo exercising, if this is one more thing that says, you know, do it at a reasonable rate and do it for the long term, don't just go crazy for the short term, you know, this might get people staying a little bit longer at it. So speaking of people staying at something that is not going to be overtraining, the feature section that we're going to do right now is talking about walking for weight loss. Now, this topic really goes well with the email from Dave because, you know, he's over 400 pounds and he's starting out by doing cardio by walking on the treadmill. And you don't have to be hundreds of pounds overweight to start with walking. If you've been inactive for quite a long time, walking is the best way to get started. You don't have to impress anyone right from the start. And even if you are quite seasoned, there's nothing wrong with going for a good hike or a good walk. You know, when you get in shape and you really don't want to sound like you're going for a walk, you tell people you're going hiking. So Russ, why do you think walking is a great way to start?
First off, it's free. You know, there's no special equipment required. There's some optional equipment we're going to talk about a little later. But for the most part, whatever you have in your closet, whatever pair of shorts or pants you have, you just start walking. You don't have to pay anything, and it's a great way to get started.
And don't forget, it's really easy to start. You can just walk right out the front door and get walking. And a lot of people, they think if they're going to exercise, they have to start with jogging or running. And if you're not used to doing this at all, if you have a little bit of extra weight, I know when I'm heavier and I go jogging, I feel my love handles literally jumping up and down on my waist. And it's just the most uncomfortable feeling. So some of you guys will have that problem. Some of the women will have, you know, other problems as well. Take it easy to start off. This is not just you have to get in shape in a week or something. Your body will rebel right at the start, especially if you haven't done it in quite a while.
Right. You know, we talked about the Wii Fit in previous weeks and as one of those gateway drug exercises. And I think walking is another one of those gateway drugs. You know, at the beginning and end of every show, you hear a woman's voice talking about Fat to Fit Radio. It's a friend of mine, Suzanne, and she's listened to the show, and she's started her own walking program, and she's now transitioned. She was fairly in shape, but, you know, she got to a point where she's like, I'm going to go running now instead of going walking, and she's progressed on, and now she's running, you know, 2, 3, 4 miles a day. And is loving it. So walking, you know, as soon as you get to a point where you feel like you're the right weight and you're not going to injure yourself, you can transition onto running, but you don't have to. It can be, you know, a walking program is a great place to start and to continue a weight loss program.
And it's also, if you're really not ready to get to the gym for the first time, now this is what people think. They think, I can't join a gym right now because I'm too heavy. And if I go to the gym, everyone else is in great shape, which is totally wrong. But I understand that a lot of people who are quite overweight, they just want to kind of start walking on their own late at night when people don't see them, because maybe they're embarrassed to be seen that they're walking and starting to get exercise, because people are going to think that you're fat and you're exercising and it's embarrassing. It makes no sense, but I know a lot of people have this crazy thing in their head. Bottom line is, get started on something simple. There's nothing simpler than walking. But let's get into some of the optional special equipment.
First off, shoes. There are special walking shoes that you can purchase, but really any good, supportive athletic shoe should work for you. And when you go looking for that shoe, there's just a couple guidelines to think about when you're picking a shoe. The first one is, it should provide good support to all parts of your foot.
And it should have enough toe room so you can wiggle your toes while you're walking.
Right, and it should have a flexible cushioned sole to absorb the shock as you walk.
And it should be made of breathable material.
And lastly, it should be light. It shouldn't be a real heavy shoe.
Now, you can actually buy walking shoes, but running shoes are just as good. Running shoes are really designed just to be walking in a straight line. They're not good to be, you know, doing quick left and right turns or playing basketball. And they will give you probably the best cushioning, but either one, you can't go wrong.
And now about clothing. Now, there's great flexibility in the type of clothing you can wear when you're walking. And, you know, really it can be almost anything, but just, again, a few tips here. Number one, wear some loose-fitting clothing, maybe like a warm-up suit or t-shirts and shorts.
And, of course, you have to dress for the weather. If it's cold, wear multiple layers so that you can remove it if it gets warmer while walking, for example. And remember, you will heat up while you're walking. The average time that someone probably spends walking is only 3 or 4 minutes at the same time. You know, just think in the mall, you're stopping at a store. So if you're actually just going and not stopping walking, you'll be surprised. It actually will warm you up.
Next is, you know, during cold weather, wear a hat. During the cold weather, you can lose approximately 30% of your body heat through your head. So coming up here on winter again, especially here in Canada, where the frigid Arctic up there,
Yeah, I know. You're probably really suffering with this 30% of your body heat being lost through your head at, you know, 70 degrees when you consider that cold.
No, seriously, just a little aside. Last night, I walked out of the restaurant with the kids, and I was hit by this humid, probably 80-degree air at like 7:30, 8 o'clock at night. It was amazing. But anyway, I digress. Okay, cold weather, wear a hat.
Okay, warm and sunny weather, which I don't have up here anymore. Wear a hat to keep the sun off your face.
Yes, and in inclement weather, if it's raining or snowing, you want to wear something waterproof or windproof, and it'll make your walk a lot more comfortable if it's coming down.
All right, well, let's move into some safety. Now, you have 2 points here, Russ.
Right, the first is, like I said, you might want to go out at night. And it's fine. It's cool out. And, you know, as you warm up, it'll feel really good. But, you know, wear some kind of reflective clothing. You don't want to be, you know, wearing dark clothes in the middle of the night and have an opportunity to be hurt by a driver that's not really paying attention. So wear some reflective clothing. And the second one is, as a good general rule, when you're out spending long periods of time walking, especially here like in Southern California where you're going to have a lot of sun all the time, wear some sunblock, you know, a good SPF 30, 45, if you're going to spend an hour out in the sun. And, you know, you're especially on the back of your neck, ears, all the areas that are going to be exposed to the sun, and get those protected.
All right, now for the fun stuff, which is the gear. So the first thing that can really enhance your walking experience would be having an iPod or any other type of MP3 player. And we assume that most people who are listening to this right now have some sort of portable music player, and that is a great thing to have. While you're out on a walk or working out, it's a great thing to listen to podcasts like this or audiobooks or even downloading the local news and listening to what's going on. It's something that takes your mind off it and the time passes a lot faster.
Also, I've been enjoying audiobooks myself when I'm walking or working out, and for long periods of time, really 21-hour audiobook, you know, after 2 weeks of walking and you've consumed a whole book. So a great way to use that MP3 player or iPod while you're walking. All right, and that second obvious piece of gear that you're going to might want to use while you're walking is a pedometer. And a pedometer counts the steps, and with the extra information about your stride length, it will also count the number of miles that you walk. And it's a great little piece. It's really inexpensive. The, you know, you can get one free in a Happy Meal if you want to start with one that's extremely simple.
Oh, wow. And of course, you can go all crazy. I have a Garmin Forerunner watch, and it's a watch, and it has a heart rate monitor, and it tracks through GPS exactly where I'm going. It keeps track of how far I've gone exactly. I can get back after a walk or a run and plug it into my computer, and it will hook up with Google Maps and show me exactly where I've run or walked, and then I can actually look at the map and click on a spot in my walk and see my heart rate at a certain area. You can just go totally crazy with the technology if you really want to. And you know, it doesn't really matter how complicated the pedometer is. If it's motivating for you because you can compare with what you did the day before, that's all you need. If all that it can do is count how many steps you've taken, you can go for a goal of, you know, a 5,000 step walk or a 10,000 step. It doesn't matter how accurate it is, as long as you can compare things and see that you're making an improvement.
All right, now you've got all your gear and your clothing, your shoes, and you're ready to go out walking. You might want to take a look at some of the walking programs that are available.
Believe it or not, there's a running store in Canada called The Running Room, and they offer a ton of running programs, you know, from the 5K, the 10K, the half marathon to the marathon, but they also offer a learn to walk. And people think learning how to walk, and it seems kind of crazy, but they actually offer these 12 or 16 week classes where you take a half hour lecture and then you go for a walk. And they start off, you know, you're walking 20 minutes and you're taking breaks, you know, and then by the end, you're walking 5K or 3 miles. And that leads you right into the next class, which would be to run the 5K run. So a lot of people think it's kind of silly, but there's lots of people taking this class. You're not going to be the only person out there just walking.
So as well as any you know, in-person programs you might come across, there are a ton of walking programs on the internet. And we're going to have links to multiple programs in the show notes. You can find those for episode number 43 over at the website. But, you know, a common part of all these walking programs should be a warm-up and cool-down. Regardless of what workout walk pace that you you have, you should start out by walking about 5 minutes at an easy to medium pace to get your body warmed up. And likewise, you should walk at that same easy medium pace for 5 minutes after you're done with the more intense part of your walk to cool your body down. And it'll definitely help you from being sore the next day, and you'll be amazed how well it works.
And of course, don't forget about doing some basic stretches when you're done. That's going to help in your cool down and your recovery from the walk or hike that you were just on. And as I said, we'll do a show coming up in a little bit about all the details about stretching.
That's great. And you know, lastly, if you are severely overweight, if you're, you know, in the morbidly obese category, you may find that walking programs are just, you know, the ones that we're going to be linking to, or those are going to be too much for you. You know, maybe just that 5 minute warm up walk is all you can do. And that's going to be fine. You know, you'll progress at your own pace. You'll go from that 5 minute warm up walk to a 10 minute walk. That's great. But you know what? Go at your own pace and don't give up. That's the key.
Yeah, those are some really good points there, Russ. it doesn't even matter. I know we had an email a while ago from a person who really couldn't walk at all, and he was just starting out by sitting up and using arm weights. Do you remember that? That was probably about 6 months ago. But regardless, after a few months, he was up and started walking a little bit and was doing more and more. As long as you can do a very slow progression and you can see a progression that your workouts are getting harder and harder, that's all that really counts. You're going to get there eventually, guys.
So as part of the prep for this episode, I put together a little website. It's at walk2fit.com, and I just have a beginner, an intermediate, and an advanced walking program that I put together. I'm also going to be putting some information up there about how to measure your stride so you can figure out if you have that simple pedometer, you can figure out how far you've walked. It's nice to have a little more information when you get walking instead of just having a number of steps. You know, okay, I've gone a mile or 2 miles, and it's just nice to know that information.
All right, sounds good. Hey, but let's get into the recipe of the week.
Yes, the recipe of the week. And again, this week we're going to continue the slow cooker crock pot recipes. Last week it was the pork loin, which was really tasty. This week, barbecue pulled chicken. And I found this recipe over at eatingwell.com. And it looks amazing, the picture here. And it's all great ingredients and simple. You put it in the crock pot, cook for 5 hours. It's got 184 calories per serving, and just looks great. And so take a look at the show notes for this pulled chicken barbecue recipe.
Yeah, the picture looks really good. And it says it's easy to create, so might just have to try that out.
Very good. And so, Jeff, what kind of homework do we have for everybody this week?
Well, each time that I give out the homework, I try and find something that people can do that will actually make a difference. And I'm really going to go back to the basics here, because this is stuff that we talked about, you know, almost a year ago, and it's something that people have all heard, but they're probably not doing it anymore. So here's the basics. When you're eating, eat a lean protein and a fruit or vegetable with every single meal. That's going to make a huge difference.
Excellent. And what is our motivational quote for this week?
The quote this week comes from Ellen DeGeneres, and it is, "You have to stay in shape. My grandmother, she started walking 5 miles a day when she was 60. She's 97 today, and we have no idea where the hell she is."
All right, that's going to do it for this episode. I want to thank everybody for downloading and for listening to this podcast. All the show notes, including all the links, are over at fattofitradio.com. We will talk to you next time. Bye-bye.
Send your feedback or questions to podcast@fattofitradio.com. For more information on today's show or any previous shows, visit the website at fattofitradio.com. If you would like to support the show, leave us a review on iTunes or your favorite podcast directory.